you'll see that America is still the land of the free.
Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, your national beacon of liberty. Now, here's your Voice of Freedom, Brent Johnson.
On December 14, 2012, 26 people, including 20 children, were shot and killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut, shocking the entire country and spawning efforts in Congress and various state legislatures to further restrict ownership of firearms and ammunition. There has been much talk about the perpetrators of this foul crime. The official story is that a 20-year-old local autistic man was the shooter, but there have also been stories of a second shooter. Evidence has surfaced suggesting CIA or Israeli Mossad involvement. The Second Amendment has come under renewed attack from gun control advocates, while constitutionalists have dug in their heels concerning the God-given right to keep and bear firearms in defense of life, family, and country. I spoke with a local Sandy Hook citizen to try and get a clearer picture of what really happened on that fateful day and in its aftermath. Katie Davis has lived in the Sandy Hook section of Newtown, Connecticut for 20 years and in Fairfield County her whole life. She is a local entrepreneur and shop owner. She has no children presently in the Newtown school system, but knows plenty of people who do. Katie has tried to live outside of the box on a constant search for meaningful truth and substance. She believes in personal responsibility and the need to witness the results of what we as a nation have wholly created. From the poor and hungry to our dysfunctional youth to the suffering, dying children worldwide, it is our policies, money, and consent that makes it all happen. She is not new to this brutal cycle of violence except the absolute trauma part of it all. It is one thing to study an atrocity and quite another to live through it. Katie Davis, thank you for speaking with me today.
You're welcome.
What were you doing on December 14th? 2012, when the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School happened?
I was here in my house, and I live on a main road. Normally, you hear 6 or 10, that's an awful lot of sirens. There were 20, 30, 40, there were helicopters, but I put the scanner on because something was going on, and there were towns responding that I had never seen respond to anything because they're not neighboring towns. Initially, it was very low-key. It was almost like a joke. We were actually joking about it, which still kind of bothers me that we were laughing about it that morning because, you know, somebody had shot themselves in the foot and there was a vanload of nuns that they were looking for. And even when I was listening to the scanner, you know, in 1 second they'd be saying, oh, the building's clear. And 20 minutes later, somebody else is saying, is the building clear? And it sounded like they didn't know what was going on and that nothing was going on. Then all of a sudden, there was one local report before the AP report that said 4 or 6 dead, and that was kind of shocking. Then all of a sudden, the AP comes out with 26 dead, and we were all like, what? Like, no way. From there, it's just been a really amazingly horrible experience here in my town.
It's interesting that you express it that way. When I first saw the World Trade Center buildings getting hit with the planes on TV, my initial thought was exactly the same thing. This is some kind of a joke. There's that denial aspect. But then you get the report that says 20 children have been killed. At that point, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I know a lot of people in this town, but I'm not really a very active person in a lot of the things that go on locally. I just felt like I have to defend this place. And Friday, I went downtown, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. The first funeral was on Monday. I was active for the beginning of it, and then I just lost it.
Did you know any of the children or any others who were killed that day?
No, I don't personally know any of these children.
How about the general reaction initially of the town and the townspeople?
Just think of the worst thing you can think of and having it thrown right in your lap. I think it was just absolute panic, fear, defensiveness. I've had some of the most meaningful conversations of my entire life with people. There's been a lot of real healing and coming together. And I do think the families are being supported and defended, which I think is good.
It has been 3 months since the shooting.
The official story is that Adam Lanza, an autistic 20-year-old, was solely responsible for the shooting. Yet there is a substantial body of evidence suggesting that he was not alone or even that he did not commit the murders. What do you believe really happened on December 14, 2012?
Well, what I know from watching my local news and what I've heard from people who were involved waiting for their children or whatever they were doing there, there's a few questionable things. There's definitely more than one report of a second shooter. One was a man reported on the local Channel 8. His name was Roy Lowe. And he said that there was a man in the police car that the police had taken out of the woods. He looked parents in the eyes and said, "I didn't do it. I didn't do it." This is also in local newspaper reports. The man was in the police car, handcuffed. And there's never been a follow-up on that, but there was a story that supposedly somebody named Chris Manfredonia was a parent who had shown up in the morning to do gingerbread houses or something, and that he was the second person. And then the Newtown Bee actually put a story out maybe 3 weeks later that said an off-duty tactical squad officer was in the woods that morning, and it was him who was detained and released. But they never provided his name. There's also children who are being interviewed who say that there's a man on the floor of the fire station who was handcuffed.
With all those different stories, have you, as an individual, come to any conclusions or any beliefs as to what actually happened?
A lot of things that I really thought weren't happening that day because of the scanner. Now I kind of get more of the idea there was a lot of confusion that day and there was so much response that they didn't know what was going on. And there would be different hierarchies of people coming in and out. Things can be explained away, but they're not making any attempt to. I don't even think it's up to me to ask these questions. What about the parents? It's up to them. Yeah. If these people are all standing there that morning and they see these things going on, either it's been explained to them well enough that they don't care anymore, or they're going to raise those issues. All of the news stories that I've seen regarding Adam Lanza say that he has no computer footprint. He's not on the social medias. He's supposedly a computer kid. He's on all these gaming sites, but they haven't named any of them.
You mentioned a few things in your original email to me, and one of them was that you said that there was a whole bunch of crap coming out of what you call the truther people attacking the victims.
That's been one of the weirdest and most daunting parts of this, is that a lot of the Paul Vance's, John Goodman, and everybody's playing a role, and there's all these actors, and this is all fake, and no children died. That's what they're saying. It's that no children are dead. Everybody is an actor. And then they pick out this one girl in particular, Emily Parker, and they have all these pictures. Oh, she's holding up the devil sign. And it's like, well, where is the source of that picture? It's like, where does that picture come from? That is not enough to say that all these children are fake. It's ludicrous. And then there was a man who lives right next to the firehouse, Gene Rosin, and six of the children ended up at the bottom of his driveway because they ran out of the school. As the shooting was happening, they ran by the man, and they ended up at his driveway, and he's still being attacked, being called a crisis actor. And it's funny because these are not critical issues. It's sick because it's making the town even more defensive, because who wants to share a story when the potential to be so attacked? And attacking children in the first place is about as low and basal and primitive as you can get. And to go the second step and deny those souls that are flying around in the air right now and have people view these things across the nation and believe it, that does something spiritually, I think. And I think that this has a lot of malice behind it.
Let's touch on another thing that I found very interesting from your original email. It indicated you had been listening to the live scanner feeds, and they talked about the van of nuns. And we all know about this, those of us who have been paying attention at least, that originally they said he was dressed as clergy, there were nuns. But you went on to say that you saw the APB, the All Points Bulletin for the van. It was pulled over and let go in Danbury. It had New Jersey plate C66BSS registered to Courier Car Rental in Wayne, New Jersey. The occupants with ski masks and dressed as nuns, supposedly doing a documentary on bow hunting.
You can listen to these scanner feeds online. They're available. They're all archived. And nobody thinks that's worthy as opposed to attacking a man. It's just crazy to me. But yeah. That morning, they kept saying, It was on the online news, it was on the TV news, it was on the radio, and it was on the scanner feed. They put an APB up on radio reference. It was a dark purple or maroon van, possibly with the back window shot out, and there was an APB out for it. It was pulled over at 55 Stony Hill Road, which is Route 6 in Danbury, and they had them there for at least an hour, because if you listen to the archived scanner feed, they are talking back and forth about them, and they let them go, and there was an APB out because it said possibly involved with the shooting. It was later reported there was another call in from somebody who called it in. They were at Brugger's Bagels, which is down on White Street. And I read another very crazy article in Veterans Today that claimed that MI6 called the CIA, and they had told them that they were tracking by satellite this van, and that's why they were taking the back roads or something. And that all sounds so crazy to me. I can't process that.
Well, I have seen evidence that strongly suggests the possibility that the Israeli Mossad, which has a history of killing children to secure its goals, I mean, they're vicious, may have been behind the shooting. Do you believe that any of that international intrigue might be possibly behind this?
I really don't know what to think when you get down to it, because I just don't know.
One of the stories you told me in your original message to me was about how during the initial public gatherings on which people were coming to discuss these things, there was apparently a great deal of support for the Second Amendment and for firearms ownership and the fundamental American right to defend your own life. And that when you, being somebody from the area, wanted to talk, they didn't want to let you talk.
Only because they could tell what side I was on, because they were trying to frame the debate. They told me it was an unbalanced night. And I said, no, I said, this is it. Because they had maybe 4 or 6 out of, say, 80 people that were ridiculously anti-gun and totally uninformed. There were police chiefs there. There were all sorts of officials and dentists and doctors, and not just gun people. It wasn't just NRA people, because they kept saying, oh, it's just all NRA. I didn't see a lot of NRA people. I saw all ethnicities. I just was really pleased with the statistics they were pulling out. One of the statistics in Connecticut here is between 1994 and 2011, there has been a total of 36 people killed with a long gun. So this is a incredibly oversimplistic juvenile attitude to solve an incredibly complex problem, which is a diminishing of respect, responsibility, moral upbringing, all those kinds of things. Children from a very young age that are just socially whipped into being something that isn't really special because it looks better than what you really want to be.
There have been numerous efforts by not just local but state and federal governments to obscure the investigation and proceedings in the wake of the shootings. Have there been any protests to the lack of transparency in this matter?
Not that I know of, no.
Since the shooting, there have been state, local, and federal proposals to ban firearms ownership, and especially ownership of large amounts of ammunition. Do you believe such bans would prevent this kind of massacre from ever happening in the future?
No way. Absolutely no way. 0%. In fact, I believe that the only reason it happens, it's the gun-free zone. It's a place where people are sitting ducks. If you look at the pictures of some of those women, especially the principal of the school, that woman would have been a very competent shot. She was the first one supposedly to encounter the shooter. She would have been the best bet. And somebody like her, if you can trust somebody with a school full of children, you can't trust them after being trained properly to defend them. I think that would be a perfect example of personal responsibility.
So you don't think an outright ban of firearms would prevent this kind of horror?
Never.
You've mentioned that the general attitude of people in the region is pro-Second Amendment, anti-gun control. Has that attitude, as far as you could tell, changed one way or the other as a result of this? The idea of banning firearms and or ammunition, has it become more or less appealing to the collective?
What I have observed is that it's almost like this is some kind of hallowed or sacred ground. I think that people would think it would be disrespectful.
What changes, if any, have been implemented at Sandy Hook Elementary School since the shooting?
Well, the school is still fenced up and non-accessible. They're not allowing anybody in it or near it. And they moved to a school that's only about 7 miles away. It's pretty close in Monroe. And it's kind of a weird story, too. They actually reproduced the Sandy Hook school. They reproduced it exactly so that the children would feel like going back. So they're there now, and supposedly there's just been parents who are there all the time. I think the old principal came back, and she was retired. She came back.
What do you think will be the long-term effects of this incident,
both on the community and on the country?
There's going to be a lot of good things that come out, but I think that there's a cloud here, just a horrible, horrible thing that will never leave, ever. The long-term effect as far as the country, stories about how some of the gun manufacturers are refusing to sell to law enforcement, I think that's quite a statement, and I think that's very encouraging.
Do you think the Sandy Hook shootings will have some kind of long-term effect on the rest of the country?
Well, there's sickness out there, and these things happen like clockwork, it seems, in our country. Everybody's been affected. This has really, like, knocked people for a loop. I'm interested to see what happens. The children were evacuated over a period of 4 hours. There were children that were picked up by people in cars. There were children that ran home by themselves. There were parents who were picking up their children from 9:30 till noon. You could drive around and see these parents walking, crying with their children down every road. It was just nuts. It was totally crazy.
The shootings in Sandy Hook are an American tragedy. The loss of life is reprehensible. Yet the unalienable right of each citizen to own firearms rests at the very heart of our country's laws. We should all abhor such tragedies as the Sandy Hook shootings, but there will almost certainly be more of these incidents in the future. Will we, as Americans, be ready for them when they happen, or will we abandon the principles our founding fathers fought and died to preserve in the hope that bad people will stop doing bad things? This is Brent Johnson for The Voice of Freedom.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Voice of Freedom. Opinions expressed are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views of Truth and Freedom Radio Networks, Freedom Broadcast Group Incorporated, or our sponsors. For more information about your freedoms and liberties, or to contact Brent, just log on to our website at www.freedomradio.us or call 1-888-385-3733. Join us next time for another lesson in liberty on The Voice of Freedom.
America, land of the free.